Amen. May be seated this morning as you take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 1 this morning. Acts chapter 1, taking a little break from our series, going through the gifts of the Spirit. Going to be looking at the infallible proofs of the resurrection this morning. And this is Easter morning, the time that we celebrate the rising from the dead of Jesus Christ. He didn't swoon, he wasn't unconscious, he was dead, but rose to life again. And we'll see a little bit more about that in the morning service. And do be in prayer for the morning service. Many lost will be coming. And we're praying that the Lord would save souls this morning. And we were able to have some good visits with the new move-in ministry this week and able to have several families say that they're definitely going to be coming or try to come this morning. And also those in our neighborhoods that we were able to talk to and have them come to church this morning. And also I think some co-workers of different ones are coming this morning as well. We're going to try and come. So we're blessed for that and we're thankful. Look at Acts chapter 1 this morning. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3 this morning. And why we do not believe that, of course, Jesus rose again exactly on this date 2,000 years ago, but it's time that we remember and celebrate his resurrection. But how do we know that Jesus rose from the dead? How do we know that? And this is what many people question. How do we know that Jesus really did rise from the dead? And we're going to look at some infallible proofs from God's Word regarding the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Acts chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3 this morning. And let's read here. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now verse 3 is what we're going to focus on this morning. To whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our Sunday school lesson this morning. Dearly Father, we thank you that we're able to gather here, and Lord, that you raised your Son to life again. We thank you for that promise and that truth and the necessity of it. And Lord, we pray that this morning, if any doubt the true resurrection of Christ, maybe some who are listening to this recording this morning and they doubt that Jesus really did rise from the dead. Oh, Lord, that we would take these scriptures and equip our hearts and our minds so that we may show people the infallible proof that you did indeed rise from the dead. I pray that you would guide and direct us this morning and encourage our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The infallible proofs of the resurrection. Now, and we look at some words here before we begin. Infallible. Now, something that is infallible is unable to fail. It is unable to fail. So these are undeniable, infallible, no way you can get around it proofs that Jesus did rise from the dead. And some people would say, well, can you show me through science? Can you show me through history? Can you show me anything else except the Bible? Well, sorry, there are some evidences and some testimonies that Jesus did rise from the dead outside of the Bible. But if you don't believe the Bible, then you're not going to believe in salvation. You're not going to believe in God because this is God's Word. We can't get around what God says, and we can't get around what is the truth. And this is where we get the truth from, the Word of God. And this morning, we're going to be looking at some proofs that he did rise from the dead. Now, and also this divine resurrection. In a simple terms, it's this: to make that which was dead alive again. The swooning. Some people say, well, Jesus didn't really die. He just swooned on the cross. He was unconscious, and then he was bound up, and then he was placed in that tomb, and the cool air of the tomb revived him, so he didn't really die. He was just unconscious, so that he didn't really rise from the dead. They thought he did, but he didn't really rise from the dead. But that's not what the Bible says. It says that he died. He said when he cried, it is finished. And what did he do? He gave up the ghost. What that means is he died. His spirit departed from his body. He was indeed dead. Also, by the way that the Jews did embalming and would wrap them in linen cloth and would put spices and things like that. If someone was alive at that time, I think they would have noticed that he was alive. But also the entire process of doing it, someone can't breathe when that is done. So he indeed was dead. But what do we see of this from the Bible. Number one this morning, we're going to look at the testimony of Jesus himself. The testimony of Jesus himself. He said that he was going to die, and we see that in John chapter 3, verse 14. Let's look over there, John chapter 3 and verse 14. He said that he was going to die, that was going to, what was going to happen to him. Now, he said it in one time in a more of a parable, but this he says plainly here in John chapter 3 and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So he said this of his death must be lifted up. Lifted up how? On the cross. He spoke of his death, not only here in many other places, but also he spoke of his resurrection. One chapter before, in chapter 2 of John, in verses 19 through 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days will I raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. So how can we trust the words of Jesus? Some might say that. So, well, how can we not trust the words of Jesus? We must remember who he is, that he's the very Son of God. He said in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. And when he had said that, the Jews then took up stones to stone him, because to them that was blasphemy. They just saw him as a good person. They saw him as a prophet. They saw him as just a man. But he indeed was the very Son of God. He was a man, 100% God, 100% man. But yet he was without sin. And he was and he became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that he became sin for us, he who knew no sin. Jesus did not know what it was to lie or to steal or anything like that, or have a wicked thought. He was tempted by the devil, but he resisted those temptations with the word of God, and he was indeed sinless. So he's the Son of God. He was without sin. Also in John 1:3, he is the creator of all things. Not anything made that was made, except it was made by him. Amen. And by him all things consist. This is the Son of God. This is who Jesus was. And how do we know these things? The Bible, the Word of God, tells us. Very simple, very clear. This is not some invention of man. This is not some invented doctrine of the church. This is the doctrine of Jesus Christ and of himself. This is what God has told us about himself and his Son. And you know, I think, if any of us in here today say, well, where do I get these things? Where do we get these things? Where do we get these beliefs from? We get them from the Word of God. Remember, the Bible is not a man-made book. It is God's book. God moved holy men of old as they were moved by the Spirit of God. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for, correction and instruction in righteousness. Amen. And so we know this is God's word. And so I think we should listen when God speaks about himself. When God speaks about his Son, we need to listen. And anyone else that says, well, that isn't true, how do they know it's not true? Because they don't think it is. Is there a proof that it is not? No, there is not. We know that God's word is absolutely true. But there's not only one infallible proof of Jesus rising from the dead. There are many more, and we're going to look at number two this morning. So first, we see the testimony of Jesus himself. Second, the testimony of the Roman government. And so how do they have a testimony that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, let's look at once again. Look at Matthew 27 and verse 2. Let us review the trials of Jesus. Jesus had three trials, really. He had a trial before the Sanhedrin and before Caiaphas. And that then they decided to take him to Pilate, Pontius Pilate, and accuse him of sedition against the state, that he was saying there is other gods besides Caesar. And that was against the law at that time. Caesar was the god of the Roman Empire. He was the deity. And to say there was another god besides him was considered treason against the state. Though this was not something that was very commonly done, but the Jews decided to also have some false witnesses come up and say he said these things and these unlawful things. Then, and we see the same accusation made against the disciples, that they were saying to do things that's not lawful for Romans to do. The same complaint. So then Pilate says, well, seeing he was a Jew, send him to Herod. Then Herod, after he had questioned him and couldn't figure out what to do with him there, and they mocked and beat him there, and then sent him back to Pilate. And Pilate knew that there was a great mob going there, and there was a great tumult there, as the Bible says. Let's look at Matthew 27 and verse 2 and see what happens. And Pilate, Pontius Pilate, was the governor of Judea. Remember, the Romans were occupying Judea at this time. The Jews were not free. They were under occupation, and that they were paying tribute to the Roman Empire. Matthew 27 and verse 2, and when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. So we see here that he sent him to Herod, then sent him back to Pilate. Pilate had the final say of whether he lived or died in the human realm of things, if you want to think of it that way. Of course, we know that he had no power over the Son of God unless Jesus allowed that. Remember, Jesus gave his life willingly. No one took it from him. Jesus had all the armies of heaven at his disposal, and he could have called upon them at any moment to save him, but he did not, because he was giving it all up for you and for me. In the end, Pilate washed his hands. We see in verse 24, we see the trials here. In verse 24, Pilate washes his hands of it. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, because he did not want to send an innocent man to death. However, the Jews were insisting, shouting, crucify him, crucify him. But that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then they see that he released Barabbas unto them, who was a murderer, and delivered Jesus to be crucified. They wanted him crucified, so that he did. After Jesus' death, the Jewish rulers remembered the word of the Lord Jesus Christ regarding his resurrection. He had repeated it and had said it in front of them, and they were worried. It's interesting how the lost ones remembered the words of Jesus, but his own disciples did not. They knew that, you know, many times we don't think of this. The world knows the Bible sometimes better than Christians do. They know what the Bible says in certain areas, what are Christians to do and not to do, and what Jesus said of himself. Now, how many of you run into that? You run into an atheist that knows more Bible than most Christians, but yet doesn't believe. It's amazing to me. It's always amazing to me that many atheists that are self-proclaimed atheists, they say, well, I read the whole Bible through before I decided to be an atheist. I read the whole Bible through, then I decided not to believe in God. It's amazing to me how closed they did not. I read it with an open mind and open heart. If you read the Bible with an open mind and open heart, you should be saved by the time you get to the end. Amen? Instead of just what they go in with this attitude, well, I'm going to find a problem. You know what? If you go in with trying to find a problem with the Bible in your small human understanding, you will probably find a problem that you think is a problem. Remember, when we find a contradiction or what appears to be, there's no contradictions in the Bible, by the way, there appears to be, it's a problem with our understanding, not with God's Word. Remember that. And so we see here that they remembered the words of Jesus. They were afraid that the disciples would come and steal the body. I think some of them were really afraid that he might just rise from the dead, because they saw what happened at his crucifixion. They knew that the veil in the temple was rent. They knew that the whole earth was darkened, and that there was earthquakes, and that the graves were open. And so that this wasn't a small thing. This wasn't just a rabble-rouser. This was indeed the Son of God. And so they said, well, we're afraid the disciples are going to come and steal the body and make a hoax. So they went to Pilate, and we'll see what they said here. So let's look once again. Here we're looking at Matthew chapter 27 and verses 59 through 66. So let's look a little further on. 59 through 66. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Now, the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, remember before Passover, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, they wouldn't even say his name, that deceiver, they thought Jesus was a deceiver, while he was yet alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So now it's very interesting. There's a lot of debate on to how the sepulchre was sealed. Some people say they put a they put wax and then a rope inside the ring of the where the round stone, because what they would do, these are humongous stones that took two or three people to roll in place, and they put wax and a rope, and if they could tell if it was tampered with at all. However, there were some archaeologists that have done some study of how the Romans sealed things in that matter, how they sealed things up. And actually, if you look at the construction of the Colosseum, you look at the columns, and actually what the Romans did is they, in order to join pieces of rock together or wood and rock, they would use iron pins, square iron pins, and would use lead to solder it together. They pour it in there, make it expand, and it would hold rock together. So there's been a lot of debate onto what is the real tomb of Jesus, and we don't know if we have it, know where it is for sure. No, the Catholic Church has many places where they say things are. However, archaeologists did find this one particular place that was found back in the 1800s by an English explorer in Jerusalem. Part of it had collapsed, but it was a tomb, and it had a weeping chamber in it, and also had a separate room where it was, because tombs, you understand, were very small places where they would put the body and they would seal it. So they had a place where the body would lay, and then also they had what was known as a weeping chamber where people could come and to mourn. And what they found is what they would do with some of these tombs to seal them, to keep it from grave robbers or things like that, is they would drill a hole, they would awl a hole in the rock, and they would put in front, they would roll the stone, then in front of the stone to keep it from rolling, they would put an iron pin, and then they would put solder in it so that the stone could not be rolled. It would be almost impossible. The only way to do that would be to take that pin out, or, I mean, this is a big pin, you would have to break it off. And actually what they found was that there, in this particular tomb, that there was a hole in it, and inside of the hole was a Roman iron pin, square pin, and soldered in there like the Romans did, and it was snapped off. So when talking about sealing here, what they would do is they would put this iron pin in front of the tomb. It was impossible to remove this pin. It was humanly impossible to remove this pin. So that, now, this is a theory that some people have, but they found actually archaeological proof of this. So they put that guard there. They sealed it. They put that the two guards there, or maybe more. Usually it was two. One would sleep and the other would stay awake. And they put a 24/7 guard on the tomb to make sure no one came and stole the body. Now, I think the devil probably moved these people to try and keep Jesus in that tomb. But guess what? By doing this, by trying to keep him in there, they made a testimony that Jesus did indeed rise from the dead. And the story's not over. We'll get to the rest of it in just a moment. Then we see in chapter 28 and verses 1 through 7 here. And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene. It was a Sunday, first day of the week, because Saturday is the day of the Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath. And Sunday is the first day of the week. So that's why we have Easter Sunday. It's the first day of the week. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, meaning those that were watching, the keepers of the tomb, those guards there. The keepers did shake and became as dead men. What does that mean? They fainted. I think if an angel in brilliant white raiment came down and with a great earthquake and shining and rolled that stone back, I think you would faint too. Amen? I mean, remember, these people didn't believe in God. They were lost people. And they saw them. They fainted, became a dead man. They were so afraid and so terrified. And verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Then what happened is he did rise again. No human strength could keep him in that tomb. No human seal, no human guard. It was the angel of the Lord that rolled that tomb away. But what happened after that? Well, if you look down the next few verses, verses 11 through 15, this is what they came to talk to. Those that were the soldiers there came to talk to the Jews. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch, one of those that were there that had fainted and become as dead men, came into the city and shewed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. Now, it's an interesting word. The word shewed here is an interesting word because shewed, what did they have to show him? Show what? Of course, they were explaining. Some people think it's explaining, but if that rod had broken off and been snapped, they had something to show. To shew him, shew the chief priest all the things that were done. Verse 12, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Why? Saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day, and it still is today. It still is today. The Jews say, well, they stole Jesus' body. He didn't rise from the dead. They still say that today. So what did they do? By this, they proved that he did indeed rise from the dead. To tell a lie, to say that, well, we were asleep, we fell asleep on the job, then they came and stole him and said, if the governor, if Pilate asks any questions, we'll lie for you. We'll cover for you. It'll be okay. We'll cover for you. This is a proof of his resurrection. Because of what was done here. Instead of trying to discount the resurrection, they made it all the more miraculous. Amen? The testimony. Also, we see the testimony of his disciples. Look at Luke 24 and verses 36 through 39. The testimony of the disciples. They saw Jesus. He appeared unto them. This was their testimony. Luke 24 and verses 36 and 49. Luke 24, 36 to 49. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that is, I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he shewed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed, not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So we see that they had seen him. And in John 20, verses 2 through 9, and also we see here in Luke and Matthew and Mark, we see that they came and they saw an empty tomb. Peter and John ran to the tomb and they went in and they saw that Jesus was not there. They saw the linen clothes lying and the napkin wrapped up and away by itself, and that he had left his grave clothes there, that he was not, his body wasn't stolen. His body was gone. How can you leave linen clothes when you steal the body? They had have to unwrap them and leave them there. But no, they saw that Jesus had indeed risen from the dead. But also not only that, number four, the testimony of hundreds of people. Look in Luke 24 once again. We'll look at verses 13 through 33. We see two men on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus walked with them. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. the crucifixion of Jesus, also the resurrection. And it came to pass that while they were communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. So this was the resurrection day that he was speaking to them. Now, these people had lost their faith. They said he was a prophet of God. And they said, but we trusted, past tense. We thought that he was come to redeem Israel. We trusted and we thought, but it didn't turn out that way. In verse 22, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, and they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but they saw him not. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them, and all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village wherewith they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? You know, Jesus was walking and talking with them. He knew that they had lost their faith, and that they did not believe that he had really risen from the dead. And verse 25, he says, and he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. And they got a history lesson from the Old Testament, from Jesus himself, concerning those things, and that he had fulfilled every single one of those prophecies and had fulfilled the law. When he had said, it is finished, he had completed all the prophecies. If this was a conspiracy, as some people say it is, it would be increasingly hard to coordinate it with these two men. Amen? And you got to coordinate all this. And then you see all of those that had risen from the dead when Christ died. Look at Matthew 27 and verses 52 through 54. Cannot deny, the Jews cannot deny that something had happened, that Jesus had indeed risen from the dead. And we see when he was crucified, Matthew 27 verses 52 through 54, we see that there had those that had were saints that had died believing in Christ, but that they were risen again bodily. And graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Now it says here, verse 53, and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Some people think it happened during the crucifixion, but it happened right here. It says a parenthetical saying this was happened after the resurrection of Christ. This was an infallible proof. So we see the proof, we see the proofs, the testimony of Jesus himself. We see the testimony of God's word. We see the testimony of the Roman officials. We see the testimony of those of his disciples, of those that were on the road to Emmaus and of many others, those that had risen from the dead. They rose to testify that Jesus is indeed alive. Do you believe it? Do you believe the testimony of God himself? Do you believe the testimony of his disciples? Do you believe the testimony of the Romans? Do you believe the testimony of what the Jews wanted to conceal? Remember that. They wanted to perpetuate a lie And the devil perpetuated that lie even to today, that Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, that his disciples stole his body, or that he was really unconscious and woke up in the cool air of the tomb and walked away from the tomb. Okay, if he had walked away from the tomb, how did he get out of the tomb? How did he get out? There's no human way. If he was just a man and was unconscious, how could he have gotten out? It's not possible. How could he have gotten by the soldiers? Will you believe that Jesus rose again for you? He died for you. He rose again for you. And will you trust Jesus as your Savior today? So I've already trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. There's many infallible proofs here that we can show people. Use this as equipment. Use it as ammunition. Use it as a weapon against the lies of the devil that are perpetuated today. I was reading the news. I'm convinced and Vince, I don't read the news very often, but I'm going to read it less now. I was reading an article. And that there's this professor at some college, a theology professor. What he is a dirty, rotten blasphemer is what he is. And said all kinds of, I can't even mention him here, they're that bad, about Jesus. I mean, such terrible, I can't even mention them here. That bad. And the saying that all of these things, and took all of the things that are holy and wonderful and the blessing of salvation in Christ Jesus and all that he did, turned it into a twisted, fleshly, wicked, demented blasphemy against Jesus Christ. That's the world we live in today. That's the world we live in today. And we must take his word and say, no, this is what the Bible says. This is the truth. This is what Jesus said of himself. This is what the God the Father says of his Son. And this is what also, through the Holy Spirit of God, God's men were moved and wrote down exactly what he wanted them to say about Jesus Christ, our Savior and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's undeniable. Christ rose from the dead. Amen. Aren't you glad he did? I'm glad that he did. He didn't stay dead. If he stayed dead, as we looked at 1 Corinthians 15 the other week, if he didn't rise from the dead, then we could not be saved. Then death won. The devil won. He paid for our sin, but the resurrection is also part of our salvation. So this morning, we'll look at that in just a moment here at the 11 o'clock service. Well, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time, bless these scriptures in our hearts, and ask him to bless our time before we begin our service at 11 o'clock this morning. Let's pray.